Good morning, church, and thank you for in this strange sort of format. It is a weird thing this morning to be looking out at an empty church, but also seeing your comments on the live feed that you're here and worshiping with us. You know, this is not the way that we want to do church, and as we're here, we realize that what we're doing right here isn't church. But it's the best that we can do right now. And I trust the Lord that he can use this type of format to speak to you, to grow, that he can use this type of format, that I can put you to sleep just as effectively in 25 minutes online as I can in 40 minutes in person. So we'll be testing that out, honestly, for the next few weeks, for the foreseeable future here. And many of you know that my family and I just got back from vacation. We left right as and right before this started to ramp up. And as you know, things have been changing so quickly. Essentially, one of the first things that we had to deal with when we got down to Florida was the realization that we were probably going to have to cut our vacation shorter than we had planned. And it turned out that we did. We actually came home 5 days earlier than we had planned. But one of the benefits of that happening was that we were able to really maximize the moments. We knew that we were going to have a shortened trip, so we wanted to make sure that everything that we were doing was really getting the most out of each day. We took that and we thought, we are not going to waste this opportunity. And really, that's the point of this message this morning. It is how to think through this cultural moment that we are in right now, and how can we not waste this moment? Let me read to you from the book of Colossians, chapter 4. Just two verses for you this morning as we hear the apostle give us some instructions. He says in chapter 4, verse 5, "Walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each person." That phrase that's translated into the ESV for us as making the best use of the time is an uncommon word in the New Testament. It's actually a word that's taken from commercial and marketplace language. It literally means to snatch up or to buy up something. Now, this is something that should just ring bells for us right now. It would be as if you were to walk into Walmart and you just look on the shelves and you happen to see that there are a couple bottles of hand sanitizer and toilet paper. Right? You imagine that, and you can imagine the people running and the opportunity to buy up or snatch up that opportunity to get these extremely, right now, precious goods, right? Well, what happens here in the scriptures is that the Bible takes that type of picture, that picture of intense buying, and relates it to our relationship with those who do not know Christ. Encouraging Christians to snatch up, to buy up every moment of these strange days that Christ might be exalted. Now, I'm attempting a very short message for you this morning. I can't see you through the camera. I know some of your eyes are rolling when I say that. This will be a 25-minute devotional message that is going to highlight three ways in which we can buy up this coronavirus moment, so that we may better glorify Jesus during this time. As believers, we make the most of this moment when we recognize, when we reignite, and when we respond. First, we recognize. We recognize that this cultural moment is revealing some of the great idols of our world today. You know, at one point in history, idolatry was easy to identify. Idols were created trinkets of gold or silver or wood. They were physically sacrificed to and physically worshipped. In many ways, that type of idolatry has passed. And although the majority of our world no longer worships figurines, idolatry is no less present. One truth that COVID-19 has revealed to us is the great, and has done it with great clarity, is that there is an idol of health and wellness in our world today. There is a worship of science and medical and a trust in that our world is seeing. Now don't misunderstand me. Health is a good thing. The Bible speaks of healing. The prophets promise long life and mended wounds. Ecclesiastes teaches us to delight in the health of our youth. I think personally, I'm a better husband and I'm a better pastor when I can regularly get out and work out and I'm eating well and feeling well. But what is good can also become a god. And the hysteria around this disease and our obsession with flattening the curve reveals a deeply held belief in this country that we believe that if any of us would die, it would be an extraordinary occurrence, that it would be a failure of our society to protect us, a failure of our president, a failure of the medical community. We have made a god out of science and medicine, and it has become a major trust point in our world today. Theologian Jean-Claude Larchet wrote a book called The Theology of Illness. In that, he argues that doctors and clinicians constitute a new priestly class. He says, we are in a time in which doctors and other healthcare workers minister to a new salvation of health. And they do it to devoted worshipers. Modern medicine, he says, encourages patients to consider both their state and their fate as lying entirely in the hands of the physician. And that the only way they can endure suffering is to look to medicine for any hope of relief or healing. One of the things I think that COVID-19 is showing us is this truth in our society today. But it's simply not true. Scripture tells us a very different truth if we look to something like James 4:14. We see it say, "What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a time and then vanishes." The more that we internalize that truth, that our life and our health are both precious, but also that they are not guaranteed, well, then the more we will be able to live our lives without fear in this moment. The more we can live thankful and praise-filled lives because of the days that we do have and the health that we do have. And I think of the trust that we have in science and medicine right now as a culture, and that we just think it is strange that someone might die. And I even go back to being a child and learning the nursery rhyme prayer, "Now I lay me down to sleep." Probably many of you can repeat after me in your homes when it says, "Now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep." And then the next phrase, and I can remember as a child learning this prayer and being sort of anxious and fearful as I prayed these next lines, but if I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. And thinking, well, I don't want to die. I don't want to think about death as a child. But it revealed a time when we were less dependent and assured of our safety. And in a sense, it may be time that we teach that prayer to our children again. Or even more so, it may be a time that we teach that prayer to ourselves again. Because this pandemic is revealing the idolatries of our world. Health and a right to health and a trust in modern medicine is a big one. Not to mention many of the other idolatries that I feel that this is bringing out. Things like our trust in the economy, Things like our idols of personal liberty and personal freedoms as our freedoms are being taken away. The list goes on, and actually in your family devotionals, I'd love for you to consider that question. What is the coronavirus revealing to us about the things we trust? So we recognize and we reignite. We reignite a longing to gather with other believers in genuine worship. I've been very vocal in our conversations and our emails back and forth that you cannot live stream church. I don't think it's wrong to put a worship service on the internet for people to watch. But if you're not gathering together in a diversified group, fellowshipping and singing with others, you're doing something good, but you're not doing church. It's still valuable, but it's a concert and a lecture. It's not church. You know, this, what we're doing right here, is not church. My prayer is that it will reignite your longing to gather together in church again. This should kindle a fire in our hearts to see our brothers and sisters face to face, to talk about what's going on in their life face to face, to sing worship songs again when you have someone behind you that is off key and belting out the tune. You know, when you have someone on the other side of the room that's clapping on 1 and 3 instead of 2 and 4. That's church. It should make us long for those times when we put our arm around one another and pray with each other. You know, I was thinking that once this is all blown over, that here at SCFC, we are going to make we're going to make elbow bumps. We're going to ban them for like at least a month. Because I want to get done, and I want to see you guys embracing one another. I want to see physical touch in our congregation again. And this is going on the internet, so let me be clear, appropriate physical touch. But I want to see long handshakes. You know, I want to see that thing that guys do when they come up and they put kind of one arm around and then they hit each other on the back as if to say, you know, I'm hugging you, but I'm still hitting you type of thing. But I want us to do all of those things again. And I want us to long for the fact that we can't right now. I think of David's words to begin Psalm 122 when he says, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Let's long for that time. And the honest truth is maybe you haven't always felt that way on a Sunday morning, that longing to and excitement to go to the house of the Lord. And if that's the case, then let this God-ordained fast from church be something that reignites your passion to worship together with your brothers and sisters in the Lord. I think about when I'm away from my wife, from Elena, for a few days, we continue to communicate. We call, we text, we maybe do a voice chat or something. But that is a poor substitute for the intimacy that we desire in our marriage. You see, you can't live stream church just like you can't live stream a marriage. And in a similar way, when we get back after a time of separation, we often appreciate our time when we get back together even more than we did before we left because we know what it felt like to lose it. Similarly, I encourage you guys to take this time as a church to reignite your desire to worship together. Hebrews 10, verses 24 and 25 says, let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. Not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day drawing near. Now we look to that passage, and that is not a heavy-handed command to never miss a Sunday of worship. Instead, that is God reminding us that we need to meet together for our own good. We need to stir up one another in love and comfort and good works. That the days like this that we're living in, these difficult days, are the very time that we need to lean on each other the most. Friends, take this time when we cannot gather to rest and reflect, to pray for the church, but also especially pray that God would use this time to hone in you a longing to once again meet together face to face and worship in spirit and in body. So we don't waste this moment. We recognize, we reignite, and we respond. We respond with prayer, we respond with care, and we respond with share. Respond with prayer. As we're ordered to stay home right now, it may seem like prayer is the only thing that we can do, the only way that we can respond in this moment. But let me remind you that prayer is always our best option. Not just when we're barred from leaving our house. Hey, friends, we must be leaders in this. We must be fervently praying for those who are sick and dying of this disease. You know, if things continue on the path that they're on, by this time next week when we're together for this live stream, for many of us, we will know someone who has contracted COVID-19. And maybe in 2 or 3 weeks, we may all know someone who's died from it. This is a serious thing. This is a time to respond with prayer. But also let me ask you to pray for something that I think is even a greater problem right now in our country. We need to pray for the families and the homes in our country that are in a lockdown. Now, I may be alone on this, but I personally believe that a stay-at-home order may cause more pain and more death in the long run for this country. Now, I hope that I'm wrong, but I expect that suicide numbers are going to explode, as will child and spousal abuse, as will substance abuse and pornography and divorces. I even think of those who are fighting addiction and they can't go to their 12-step programs because they can't gather together for their support groups. We need to pray about what might result from limiting people to their homes. I mean, the truth is, in our congregation, most of our homes are safe places, are loving places. But for many, especially children and women in this country, the home may be the most dangerous place on the earth for them. We need to pray. We need to pray and we need to share. And again, I don't mean toilet paper, although we should probably share toilet paper as well. But we need to take this moment to proclaim our hope in Christ. Right now, people have eternity on their minds and on their hearts. Death is all around us. The idols of health, wealth, and protection are crashing down around our culture. This is an opportunity to speak about Jesus. We need to respond with prayer, with share, and we need to respond with care. You'll see some links on the page for further study on this topic in particular. But let me just summarize this by saying, historically, Christians have been the ones who have led the world in caring for the sick during times of crisis. In the middle of the 3rd century, there was a lethal pandemic known as the Plague of Cyprian. To give you a little perspective, at that time, it was reported that upwards of 5,000 people a day were dying in Rome. What's notable is that there's a recorded and a distinct difference between how believers in Jesus responded to that crisis compared to unbelievers. As is reported, unbelievers reportedly fled the cities, and they left their dearest friends and their family members to die in the streets. But what they would do if someone got sick in their family is that they would push the sick person out into the streets, shutter up the doors, and get as far away from the sickness, death, and disease as possible in order to protect themselves. Christians, on the other hand, took to the streets. They attended those who were sick, and they comforted those who were dying. They actually went through and picked up, scooped up the dead bodies off the street, personally went and dug graves and gave burial services to those that they didn't know but just found lying in the street. It's reported that many Christians contracted the disease as a direct result of their compassion. But they were driven by the words of Jesus in Matthew 25, where he said, "If you help and show compassion to the least of these, you do it to me." Matthew 25, 39 and 40, "And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly, I say to you, you did it to one of the least of these of my brothers. You did it to me." Crazy results come from the Christian response in the plague of Cyprian. Before the plague, it was estimated that there were just shy of 1.2 million Christians in the entire world. But only 50 years later, there were around 6 million. The world saw Jesus Christ through the care that believers gave the dying during the Cyprian plague. And it made a huge difference for the kingdom of God. We see similar things from Martin Luther, who served with his pregnant wife during the time of the Black Death Plague when it infested Wittenberg in 1527. We see something from Charles Spurgeon, who stayed in London and ministered during the great cholera outbreak of 1854. Friends, we need to be smart. We need to be safe. We need to be careful to not spread this infection, but we also must lead in caring for those who are suffering, even if it means putting ourselves at some risk. I don't think God will necessarily protect a believer from contracting COVID at the grocery store if they're going there in order to help someone or to buy grocery or medications for an elderly neighbor. But I do think it is our calling to do that for Christ. And I'm calling on you, on us, to follow that example we see in Jesus, to follow the example of the saints who came before us, and to look for ways that we can show care to people during this time of being shut in. And I don't know what this looks like for all of us. But one of the ways is you can stop by, you can go down your street and stop in at every neighbor and just knock on their door and ask if they're all right and if you could run an errand for them. You know, caring for others is actually one of the exemptions that is in this stay-at-home order by the governor. So if you're going out to show care for someone, that is okay. You can follow a link on our resources page on the website that links to the community thread, who has a service where you can donate gift cards. Our church and Elder Fund has actually donated a lot of grocery cards to them already. You can sign up to be a driver. So they'll call you and say, "Hey, there's this person that needs groceries or needs their medications picked up. Will you do it?" You can sign up for that. And maybe it's something as simple as ordering out at a community restaurant and leaving a large tip and letting people know that you're doing that and tipping them that way and supporting them because of your relationship with Jesus. Maybe it's simply standing out in your yard across from your neighbor and just having a long conversation, not caring to if you're having to talk with them for an hour or something like that. I challenge you as families to even think about this some more. How do you care like we see from Christ? Because it is time to push aside the fear and serve, to respond with prayer, share, and with care. Let me just conclude with this. Coronaviruses get their name from the little spike-like proteins on the surface of the cell. And when you look at it from a microscope, it looks like a crown. Corona is crown. And what a fitting image for us to end on this morning. This coronavirus, this crown virus, is asking us a question. It's asking, what crown will you serve? What crown will you look to? Will you spend these next few weeks with your phone constantly searching the latest updates on the pandemic? Or will you seek Christ? What crown is your mind fixated on? And let me be clear, friends, we should have great hope in these dark days. Scripture assures us that God is not surprised by what is happening in the world. Scripture teaches us that he is ready to redeem and ready to save. If you were a slave in Egypt, an exile in Babylon, or if right now you are locked in your home, there is hope. There is great hope. But that hope will not come from a vaccine or from a therapeutic treatment. Hope comes in the form of a man, the man, Jesus Christ. And in that hope, we can be sure. We can trust that even if we contract a disease, even if we die, we are sealed in Jesus Christ. We are secure in his love and in the assurance of salvation. The coronavirus asks you today, what crown will you serve? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the fact that we can come together, even if it is in this strange way, that you have given us technologies to see and speak with one another from a distance. And we know that this is not what you desire for church. But we thank you that we are together in spirit. And even as we sing and pray, that you see our voices come all together. I pray for this time, Lord, as we just read from the book of Colossians, that we may buy up every moment, that we would see opportunities to recognize and repent of the idols in our life, that we would see and have this great longing once again to gather together, to hug a brother or sister in the Lord, to pray together and to worship. And Lord, I pray that we would find opportunities to regularly pray, to consistently show care and find opportunities to share your love with others and what it means to have faith in Jesus Christ. We thank you for this time, and we pray that you be with us for the rest of our question and answer. In Jesus' name, amen.